Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to No Communication, and we are brought to you by Optimize My Life Radio Show and the Hope Collection. Optimize My Life Radio Show, we are here Monday through Friday at 12 Eastern p.m. to 1 p.m., and again, Monday through Friday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Eastern. The Optimize My Life radio show is all about helping you live your best life with professionals that give you advice and references, links and tools to where you are struggling and need some resources and help. I'm No Communication. I am your host, Mary. And on this show, we talk about communication. How to communicate effectively, respectfully, how to avoid the screen matches between you, your kids, your spouses, how to avoid misinterpretations of what you say. Hi, Kurt. We're just starting out today. As always, on the show, today we highlight the problem. We highlight the problems, but we focus on how you can help yourself. We give you real-world examples, tips and tricks that you can use, and also links in our Facebook group with every show and reference material that you can use to help. And welcome to today's show. We are live every Monday at 9:30 Eastern p.m., and the call-in number is 1-714-816-4686. The lines are open to ask any questions or talk about whatever on your mind. Now, have you ever tried saying something and you get snapped at or it turns into a screaming or yelling match? Well, tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. It's not always the words you're saying, but it could be the trivial things. It's how you saying something. It's the body language you use, the facial expressions. And we will give you tips and tricks today on how to soften your tone, how to loosen up, how to say things a little bit differently to get your spouse or your kids, or even your coworkers to understand what you're saying, respond back, and have that dialogue that you're looking for. The first thing we're going to talk about is tone. So I have that big issue, especially because I have two special needs kids. I have two autistic children. So they're very sensitive to the tone of voice that I use. And it doesn't have to be in general, you know, me talking to them. could be in general me having a conversation with their father, or, you know, mom's just irritated in general. But have you ever noticed when you're tense or you're irritated how your tone sounds rougher, harsher, more deeper?
Yes.
One of the quick and easy fixes for that, and it's really, really kind of fun, is actually wiggling your jaw. When you wiggle your jaw, you're loosening up your muscles in your throat and in your face, and that instantly softens your tone.
It does work. Oh.
Right? A lot of people kind of look at me a little bit different because you'll see me do that a lot because I get migraines, so I tend to tense in my jaw up a lot. But just releasing those muscles softens, and, you know, it doesn't just soften your tone up. It actually helps release your body and relax yourself, so you're not as irritated as you were. It's like the distraction you need to take that quick 5 seconds to redirect.
Mm-hmm.
No. Another thing is your body language. So, question for you, Kurt. What percentage, when you're speaking in the conversation or having and communicating with somebody, what percentage of that is verbal? We just lost Kurt. When you're talking to somebody, only 7% of the communication is actually what you're saying, the verbal words coming out of your mouth.
Sorry about that, Mary.
You're all good. I got used to it.
Yeah.
You're still having issues with your phone?
Yeah, even at night. I'm going to go to T-Mobile when I have time to find out what's going on. So.
All right.
What was your question you wanted to ask me? I have a question to ask you.
All right. So when you're having a conversation with somebody, what percentage of that is actually the verbal communication? When you're having that interaction and you're communicating, how much importance is on what you're saying, percentage-wise?
Well, as far as me, only 5%, because people can't hardly hear me because I talk monotone.
Well, yes, in general, it's only 7%. The actual words coming out of your mouth is only 7% of what you're paying attention to.
Why
this is in general in a normal conversation.
Okay.
Because
so what's the other people concentrating on, your body language?
38% of the conversation is about your tone and the way you're talking. 55% of it is your body language. Your body language is so important. And this is facial expressions, body language, movements, gestures, you know, talking with your hands, are your arms folded up, are you looking around, are you looking at the person, you know, are you nodding your head?
I usually talk with my head, not my arm. I put my arm to my waist, and I'm not a gesture, no, when I'm talking. I'm not
right.
Like an Italian person. I throw the arms around and, you know, like, I don't know, I don't do that.
Well, folding your arms up around yourself is a sign of insecurity. It's a sign of not feeling in control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, standing straight up with a straight posture, but, you know, and your shoulders relaxed and back. You know, you're always taught as a child growing up, stand up straight, stand up straight, stand up straight. That shows confidence. That shows that you know what you're talking about. You know, aligning your body with who you're speaking to shows that you're engaged. You know, you may not have to look at them eye to eye, but standing lined up with that person shows you're paying attention to what they're saying. You know, eye contact isn't as important as it used to be. You know, using hand gestures, talking with your hands, you know. When I was in the military, for me, that was the hardest thing to deal with because I always talk with my hands. And so you're not allowed to do that in the military. So I always used to stand there with my thumbs locked into my side pockets, to keep my hands at my side because you're not supposed to do that. But actually, when you're talking with your hands, it's like emphasizing your points, and that increases your credibility.
Is there a difference when you sit down with somebody and talk, or in body language? Can you sit down instead of standing up?
It's the same thing. Like, okay, so, you know, are your legs crossed or are they open? Are you sitting up, or are you hunched over, or are you leaning back in your chair? You know, all those things have, it's parallel to standing up. You know, are you tapping your foot or wiggling around? Are you engaged in looking at them? You know, is your leg folded towards them? When you cross your legs, is your foot pointed towards the person or is it pointed away? You know, the more direct linkage you have to the person you're talking to, is more credibility, more confidence, more engagement, as opposed to closing yourself up. You know, are you one of those that likes to sit in a chair and curl up in a ball?
No. I lean forward to a person. I put my hands forward.
You know, the big thing is, you know, using your body language and your tones and your stuff like that really helps show confidence in what you're talking about. You know, when you're passionate about something. But at the same time, you're talking to your spouse or another coworker, talking about a problem you're having, or, you know, you're talking to your kids. You need to have that open-minded process, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where softening your tone up and, you know, slouching down a little bit and being more relaxed shows them that you're open. You know, having your arms open in a, you know, in your lap or, you know, out towards them, you know, as opposed to, you know, having it folded in your folded around yourself or something like that, you know, you showing flexibility, engaging them when they're talking about something, even though you really don't care about whatever is the new trend or what Kardashian is doing what now. You know, you can use words like really or wow, or, you know, you want to use open words to help bring that dialogue in. Try to sound sincere, even though you don't, to help bring that point in. You know, the big thing is when you're trying to communicate is putting down electronics, putting down, turning off the TV, being engaged. But at the same time, and this is a double-edged sword when it comes to this, is that you want to create that open dialogue, but you don't want to, especially with kids and teens, you want to open the dialogue, but you want to, at the same time, not push too hard.
Right. You don't want to scare them.
You know, the big thing is that you want to, wait, a lot of, we have an issue as parents, all parents do this, is we don't, when it gets to be uncomfortable situations or it's something that drives us crazy, we are more than apt to distract and change the subject. You know, we kind of teach our children to suppress their emotions. And we don't do it intentionally. But, you know, and I've gotten arguments about this. You know, I've had people say, oh, no, I don't. We let them talk about whatever they're feeling. I go, really? Think back when they were born and they cried. What did you do? You gave them a bottle, put a plug in their mouth. You did something to get them to stop crying. They get a little bit older. They're toddlers. They cry. First words out of your mouth are, it's okay, you don't need to cry. We want to make it better so that they feel better, which is not wrong, but we still need to teach them what these emotions are they're feeling and what to do to be able to express them. You know, when kids snap, they're frustrated about something, they're upset about something's not quite right. And it may have nothing, and same with spouses, it may not have anything to do with you, or you just happen to maybe walk in the room at the wrong time and just say the wrong thing. Instead of feeding that the monster and feeding that back and getting an attitude with them, you want to talk to them and find out what's bothering them. And a lot of times they'll say, oh, well, you know, it's not a big deal, or I don't know.
Well,
flip that around and start talking about, okay, so you snapped at me because you're, what, are you frustrated? Are you mad? You know, did something happen here? But when you do it, you don't want to drill them. We're not playing the 100 question game. Go slow and let them process.
When you're talking to a child, you get down on to their level, so they're not looking up at you. They're not really threatened by how big you are, so you have to go to their level.
It depends on the child.
Okay.
With my son, it's not. It doesn't matter. What he'll do is he'd rather have me pick him up and come to my level. He wants to be tall. He wants to be equal. So he doesn't want me to come to him. He wants to come to me. Now, my daughter, she'd rather sit on the floor and not be level that way. She wants me to come to her.
Right.
So it depends on the child and what they feel is what they want. The big thing is is you don't, you know, it used to be when we were kids and even, you know, older, all about eye contact. Look at me when you're talking to me. It used to be, you know, it's considered a sign of respect, or but it really isn't. It has nothing to do with respect. It was all about domination and control. When it's a power trip, when you're looking someone in the eye, you're eyeing each other up to find, to figure out the dominant one. It's a subconscious thing. Sometimes you do it consciously because, you know, you're irritated with your kids or whatever. Letting them look where they need to look gets them to listen to what you're saying on a different level. It helps them feel more comfortable, more open.
Mm-hmm.
Being open and recognizing that, you know, everybody has a difference of opinions. You know, you're trying to get people, you're not creating a mini you. What you're trying to do, them to be able to express their own opinions, their own thoughts, their own beliefs. This is where they start to build their belief systems and understand who they are as an individual. When you start restricting, and I'm not saying, you know, let them go out and pierce everything, tattoo everything, whatever. I'm talking within reason. You know, for instance, in my house, my daughter, she's picking out her own clothes. Some days she matches, some days she don't. Some
mm-hmm.
days you think she was born in the 80s.
What?
Seriously, it's like the Punky Brewster phase in our house right now.
Oh, geez.
But that's her expressing herself. She's styling. She's cool. She is who she is. And the next day, she'll be in some stupid flowing princess gown that you think she's going to a quinceanera. But that's her figuring out what she likes and don't like. You know, as a parent, you want to start taking little notes. It can be, you know, on a piece of paper, it can be mental notes of your child's emotions and what's setting them off. Because when it starts setting, you know, then you get to start to establish those patterns.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so these are trigger points for them. This is what's setting them off. This is what's irritating them. So then once you figure out these trigger points, you can turn around and start teaching them how to regulate, how to learn to deal with those triggers without them bothering them so much. At the same time,
but
you want to increase. Go ahead.
But when you have to find that word that doesn't trigger, so you kind of have to experiment with your words until you find that word, you know, so they won't be triggered
It's not so much words that trigger; it's more experience. It's an event. It's something beyond their control. You know, they could, it's just happened to be, they're already at that point and they're already frustrated. And I'm like this too. My husband gets the brunt of a lot of my problems. I'll be overwhelmed. I'll be frustrated. And he just happens to walk in and ask me a question. And I'll just snap at him. And it's because usually he asks me a really dumb question and I'm just not in the mood to humor him. But it wouldn't matter what he says. I'm just that frustrated that I just need to vent to whoever is happens to be. I can't vent to my kids because that's just wrong. So I tend to wait for him to come in the door, and I snap at him, and then I'm good. And he's used to it now. But, you know, we used to fight about it a lot. But it doesn't have to be words. It could be, it's just they are so frustrated about something else, something new, third party that has nothing to do with anything. And, you know, it could be something as simple as just overwhelmed with homework, or, you know, they didn't have a headache, or they didn't feel good, or, you know, boy trouble, girl trouble, something.
Right.
And it just, you happen to be there at the wrong time at the wrong place. And learning to listen and talk through it and softening yourself up. And it could be something as simple as just, do you want a hug? Or do you want me to leave you alone and let you process? And then come back and talk to them. And you start to see a pattern here. Like this every time she comes home from work? Or is it like this every time he's with this particular person, or right after she gets home from school? You know, that starts to narrow down the pain point or the triggers. It gives you a little bit of an area to figure out what is causing it. And because sometimes they don't know what it is.
Right. They don't.
And it could be something as like a million different things piled into one.
Yeah. They also don't want to get you triggered either. So they're looking.
Well, right. And that's where loosening your jaw, loosening your muscles, taking that moment, walking away. And learning how to not react and just stopping. Like we talked about the other day, yesterday or the other day, about walking away. Taking that moment, taking that break, and resetting yourself. Now, this is where we teach the inner strengths and the self and the struggling, how to learn not to let things that out of your control affect you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not reacting, you're acting. You are handling the situation without feeding more fuel into it. And that's why improving your listening skills is so important. Having the ability to actually listen.
That's the key, listen.
Right. And there's five stages of listening. The first one is receiving.
What?
Hearing that message. Focusing on who's talking, blocking out all the distractions around you. The next is understanding. Making an effort to understand what that message means. And the thing is that your beliefs, your thoughts, your background impacts that message and how you understand that message. So if you're unclear of what they're saying, you need to ask them. The next step is remembering, which is hard for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
No, that way you can
Huh? Sorry. as you get older, your memory isn't very good as a 21-year-old. And yeah, people have a hard time doing that. Yeah.
Well, it's not. It depends. Your memory is based on how much you use it. You know,
mm-hmm.
how active your mind is, how much you're reading, how much are you challenging yourself. You know, Rick Rees today on the Day Show had a really good point about learning something new every day. Moving,
mm-hmm.
always moving forward, always progressing. The more you progress, the more you learn, the more you keep going. Otherwise, you're standing still in life. And if you're one of those that has a hard time remembering things, find a way to make it meaningful to you so you can apply it.
So I have some memory issues, so what exercises do you suggest I should take to make my memory more stronger?
There's a lot of brain teasers, challenges, things, crossword puzzles, things like that, that can help with
okay.
memory recognition. Even just picture puzzles, putting puzzles together.
Okay. Yep.
A lot of apps that you can do.
Okay.
Reading books.
Reading books. How about coloring books? Does that help? You mentioned that before.
It does. It speeds up the process between your short-term and long-term memory. The you want to get the more intricate ones, where it takes a lot more fine detail. It's really good
yeah.
occupational therapy.
Okay. Mm. So, like paint by number.
I love those.
Pictures.
I do those all the time.
By,
I do paint by number because I'm partially colorblind, so I can't do colors right.
My daughter bought me a wonderful lighthouse picture I'm painting now. So yeah, that helped me too. I'm going to look into the coloring books and the puzzles.
The next step is evaluating, deciding the value of your opinion. Is your opinion warranted in that discussion? Or is it better for you to keep your mouth shut and just say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion going to be? Is it going to cause a fight because you're going to make some comment that's inappropriate? Or they're going to see it as inappropriate, you just see it as an opinion? You know, those things you all have to figure out. The coolest part of all this is that the way the human brain works, this process is a matter of seconds. And it's also the part where it takes so much work to retrain yourself because it's such a fast-moving deal. You actually have to stop and think about each step and retrain yourself to actually actively listen. A good example of that is when you're learning a foreign language. You're in another country. You're learning how to speak their language. You actually take this whole process, and it goes so much slower because you're sitting there listening to what they're saying. You're interpreting it, and it takes you a little bit longer to interpret it. And you're trying to remember the dialect and the language. and you're trying to figure out an answer to the question or the comment that they said in a different language. And the final step is your response. Now, it doesn't always have to be a verbal response. Now, this is where you think before you speak. What is what you're saying positive, or is it going to be negative? And it could be something as warranted as just giving them a hug or some nonverbal cues, you know, nodding your head in agreement or rolling your eyes.
But when we were growing up, we had to voice our opinion, but we had to do it in a way that we wouldn't make our parents think we were talking back to them. So we would have to be a fine line doing that. But now, kids can communicate with the parents like they're good friends. I see a point. Yes, definitely.
Exactly. Now, the other part that I forgot about when we're talking about your tone of voice is when you are you asking a question or are you making a command or are you just talking? You know, you want to adjust how you answer things based on that. You know, if you're unsure of something, you end up taking into a question. When you're asking a question, the end of your voice always goes up, or the end of the sentence always goes up. You know, when you're doing commands, you got that strong, stern tone.
Okay, I have a question. What happens if you're on the receiving side of the person? How do you shut that person down to the normal voice?
I'm sorry, repeat that.
If you're on the other end of the conversation and this person's screaming at you, how do you neutralize the situation and have that person come down to your level of communication?
All right. First thing is are they aware of the fact that they're screaming? The reason I'm asking you this is because some people don't hear very well, or they just naturally have that louder tone of voice, so they naturally talk louder. So what kind of scenario are this? Are you talking about like an argument where they're just telling you where to go and they're just yelling at you on top of their lungs?
Yeah, that's sort of like that scenario.
Okay. If you ever notice when someone's talking really loud, the quieter you talk, the softer their voice goes.
Wow. So they feed off your voice.
Okay. If you start talking quieter, they will naturally start talking quieter. Otherwise, if that doesn't work, just tell them flat out, I will talk to you when you calm down and you can talk to me in a respectful manner. Be open and honest. Don't yell back unless you're at that point. Then when you get to that point, you need to just walk away. And just flat out tell them, I'm not going to listen to you until you can talk to me in that manner.
Okay. That's good. But that never happened to me. I just was really curious how that was. Because if someone did that to me, I would just say, like you just said, come back when you want to talk in a normal voice. And then I walk.
So. Right, and that's where you learn to control your inner strength and learn to just not fuel the fire and just walk away. And not their problem is their problem. And our first instinct is to yell back.
Right. Yeah, because
well,
we're going to attack.
Screaming match may make you feel better in the short term because you're releasing all that stress you're feeling, all that bottled up emotion, but it doesn't solve the problem in the long run. And that's where you have to learn to just walk away. Take a break. You know, same with your kids. And I'll take your, what we call in our house, take your corners. Go to your room. Take a break. Walk away. In my house growing up, we were stood in the corner.
Wow. Now, would it be
my
in
kids,
the same situation where two parents at a playground were fighting over, and one parent was accusing your child something he didn't do, and they were just going at it? How would you handle that situation?
When two kids are fighting?
No, when two parents aren't fighting because one parent thought your child did something to the other child. How do you handle that situation? Same way?
Well, if you have enough guts to get in the middle of it and break it up, you know, just the first thing you do is you distract them, change the subject, get them apart,
okay,
and then find out what happened. Talk to both sides separately. Basically, play parent to two children.
Mm-hmm.
They're fighting like kids, or they are. What
right.
do I mean? You know, when two adults are arguing, they're basically being like kids. And it's a good learning experience for the kids to see because it sees how to mediate problems. And the funny thing is, a lot of times, these kids
mm-hmm.
have the common sense that we lose as we grow up because we have to always be right. And they
yeah.
will tell you what you did wrong. All right, folks, we are out of time for today. Tomorrow and Thursday, it will be teen call-in time. Any teens or people you know that are struggling with bullying, self-esteem, depression, whatever you're struggling with, we have an open line that is anonymous that you can call and talk about what you're struggling with and get some help. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern. Have a good night, y'all.
Bye-bye.